Tonight is Passing the Baton, and we're on the sixth week. We had a testimony last week. Did you enjoy that? That was nice meeting Nico, wasn't it? And then the next morning we had him come and share in our men's small group how he would share the gospel with someone, and we recorded that. So that was very nice. A couple of different twists on it, wasn't it, Kevin? And to make it interesting, in the middle of it, the lights cut off. We were in a room with no windows, and all of a sudden, pitch black dark. And I'm thinking, the show must go on. We're recording. I said, just keep going. You know what it's supposed to look like. Just keep drawing. So anyway, they gave me a hard time for that afterwards. But anyway, well, let me pray and we'll start. Lord, it's a privilege to live, to be alive, and to live again in Christ, and to live forever. And one day we'll rise from the dead. We will actually experience resurrection. What an amazing moment that will be, when deeper than we've ever felt it, we'll realize it was all true. Bless us tonight. And I pray that your Spirit would hover over this place, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would give us strength of heart to believe that you can use us much more than we ever thought you could. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone got a handout? Make sure the roll gets around. We'll need to send it around again in a minute. But I brought up a basketball tonight. I was wondering, with that particular item, skill, which is a great skill, but I was wondering if anybody, basketball fans, okay, got a couple, have you ever, in any game you've ever seen, see that particular skill in some way won the game?
No.
No. Yeah, but that wasn't what won the game, was it? That was what showed off. When you think of basketball, what would you say are the fundamentals, the most basic skills that you would need to have to play basketball? Dribbling, passing, getting the ball to go into the hoop, setting up, teamwork. You know, it's not just a one-on-one kind of a thing. All right. And we talked about this when we started off. We talked about what good is it if you have a basketball team that have the best sneakers or tennis shoes and the fanciest shirt and logo and the best haircut and the sharpest facial features that just really look good. And they have the most handsome coach who's got just this great personality. And they have all of these plays written out on paper that are just brilliant. But most of the players can't dribble, pass, or shoot. Is there any hope that they could ever win a basketball game? There isn't. Now, in Christianity also, there's some things that are like twirling the ball on your finger. It may be fancy, but it in no way directly contributes to fulfilling the Great Commission. What was it that Jesus told us that we should be doing while he was gone? Make disciples. And there's part, you know, sharing your faith. There are lots of parts of that. But there, can you name anything that we do in the way we currently practice Christianity that maybe doesn't directly contribute to that? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it doesn't directly contribute to that. Carpet on the floor, for example. Any other examples? What?
Paint on the wall.
Paint on the wall.
Wednesday night dinner.
Wednesday night dinner?
I think I would disagree with that.
Okay. Okay, so things can be used. There's some things that we will do as a church that since we like doing it, we'll find some reason why it's a good idea and how maybe in some way it could contribute to the Great Commission. And I'm not saying that we should throw out everything that's not at all. The Lord has given us a very varied life. But and in the same way, I'm not saying that to win a game, all you need is dribbling, passing, and shooting. There are a lot of other things. You do need sneakers on your feet, you know, stuff like that. But when you think about the Christian life, and particularly for an individual Christian, what would be the equivalents of dribbling, passing, and shooting? What are the basics of the Christian life?
Being
Prayer.
Witness.
Bible study, witnessing. Okay, good. So you have a pretty good idea of that. Now, if we look back at our big picture from the other week, the process diagram, or the big picture, there was sharing our faith and people coming to know Christ, and then getting them established in their faith so that they become what the Bible calls disciples, followers of Christ, that they're firm in their walk with the Lord. And then equipping them, these are obviously broad brush strokes, but equipping them to do those kind of things with other people so that they're trained in doing the ministry, not because they are a reverend or something like that. As we said, it's the sheep that are to bear the lambs, not the shepherd. And then engaging in terms of a person's particular gifts and calling, because not everyone's called to work in the nursery, not everyone's called to be the financial director of a church or the teaching pastor of a church. There's lots of different kind of functions, gifts, calling. Some are called overseas, etc. And what we want to talk about tonight is, in terms of the fundamentals, what are the things that a person needs if they want to move from having just received Christ down to being a disciple? And instead of just us throwing out ideas like we have, we're going to look at a number of verses on it. But before I do, I want to make an announcement, since we have most everybody, and make sure the roll does get around, please. Because tonight is our last night in this 6-week series, and because the original series was 12 weeks, and because we haven't yet satisfied anybody's interest in specifics, we've spoken in truths and generalities, but you still don't know, if this is all you know, you don't know enough to know what do I do next if I have somebody. And so I'm going to put on a disciple-making workshop on Saturday, March 10th. That's in about, 3 weeks? All morning long, 8 to 12, and I'm putting together a notebook of resources for discipling others. Lynn will probably do us a prettier cover eventually, but this is what we've got for right now. And this will have, there will be some materials in here, booklets, and some of the main things I've used over the last 25 years. There'll be some CDs, and then each section will be like, what do you do as far as getting people in the scripture and quiet time and things like that? And hopefully all of the printed things will also be on a CD, so you'll have it also in electronic form. It's not something that you'd necessarily go through everything with everybody. It just gives you sort of a menu to look at and see things that might be of help. For example, this is a lessons on assurance. If you have a brand new Christian, you want to do a simple Bible study with them. This is an example of that. And it's something they could fill out and you could do with them. But and that Saturday morning, we would work our way through a lot of this stuff and hopefully finish early. But for anybody that wants to participate in that, I'm thinking I could produce this for about $25. I'm hoping I can, because that's what I'm telling you I'm charging. And if you're going to come, I'd like you to put your name down, and I want you to tell me whether or not you want a notebook. You can come for free, but if you want a notebook, that's going to cost one of us, and I'd rather it be you. We'll let that sheet pass around, and I'll have an idea of how many of these notebooks I need to make. Are there any questions on that disciple-making workshop? Yeah. Yes, Joe.
You had mentioned that if we're going to be out of town or something.
Maybe. Might cost you $30 if you. We'll talk about that. Okay. Well, let's look at the marks of a disciple. What if we were to ask Jesus, what would you say as a disciple? You told us to go make disciples, but what is that? What does that mean? The first passage that you've got on your page is Matthew 11:28-30. Common, popular, wonderful passage. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. What is it that verse tells us we should do? A couple of things, I guess, doesn't it? I want to read again and ask you again. Come to me, all who are weary. So come to Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we are to be learning from Jesus Christ, following Him. Christianity is not a religion-centered thing. It's a Christ-centered activity, centered around a person. So the first thing, Jesus said that a disciple will do is he is going to be a learner. He'll be learning from Jesus Christ. Okay, now that you know what we're doing, let me read you the second verse, see if you can get it. Matthew 10:24-25, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher, and the slave as his master. Imitate Jesus. Grow in being like him. He says, you don't have to do everything. You just have to be just like him. You know, don't make it more difficult than it is. Just be perfect. So a disciple will be becoming more and more like Jesus. Third, John 8:31-32, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth. Finish it for me. And the truth shall make you free, or set you free. What's another thing that according to that, a disciple does? Abides in the word. If you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, then you are truly what? Disciples, my disciples. Good. Okay. Luke 8:18, first verse, and you then followed by a parable. Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. That's low-hanging fruit. What's a disciple supposed to do? Pray. Ought to pray, anyway. A disciple will persist in prayer. Y'all need a handout? Right over there. You're going to get them? Gotcha. Okay, Luke 14:33. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. That's a little tougher. But you see that phrase? No one can be, whatever that is, if you don't have that, you can't be his disciple. That's pretty important, isn't it? Sacrifice. Commitment. That's commitment. Now, again, he makes a steward, so you give it to him and he gives back what he wants to give back to you, and then you're to give an account for it, but it's a you've changed ownership. It's a surrender to him now as the property owner or as the boss. Surrenders to Christ as Lord. That's what a disciple is. But Henry, what if we have somebody that doesn't do that? That doesn't want to surrender to Christ as Lord? Well, he's not going to be a disciple, is he? He says that no, that's got to happen if he's going to be my disciple. Number six, Luke 9:23-24. If anyone, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Back to the beginning. If anyone wishes to come after me, be his disciple. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. What does a disciple need to do? Learn how to say no to you. That's not very easy, is it? You have to at least be willing, though, right? To be able to not always do just what you want to do. That's one of the things we try to teach in the parenting classes. In Latin America, they're very non-directive, if you want to put it that way, permissive. And so we would talk to them about putting the children to bed at a reasonable hour, like 2 hours before the parents go to bed, so that they can have some time to actually communicate. And so they were. The plan was they would put the children to bed at 9, and they would go to bed at 11. They came back the next week, and, I said, "How's it going?" He says, "They're still going to bed the same time we are." And I said, "Well, why?" Well, he said, "Well, we explained it to them. You know, they were 2 or 3, you know, and but they didn't want to. So, like, what can you do?" So anyway, there's a 2 and a 3-year-old in every one of us that has its own opinions about what it wants to do, and a disciple learns to obey the Lord even when it's not in something that you were wanting to do. 7, John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And if you don't have love for one another, what's everyone going to know? You're not his disciple." A disciple shows love for believers. So you see, this whole idea of disciple, it's not as though it's something just anybody can make up any definition they want. Jesus has already kind of said a lot of the things that's involved in being a disciple. You know, one of the things that comes up when you talk about making disciples and stuff like that, you know, one of the things that people sometimes figure out, "I don't think I'm a disciple yet." And, well, that's good. You be the first one, first client in the enterprise of making disciples. 8, John 13:13-17, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." What's he telling them they need to do? Serve one another. Need to be servants. Grow in servanthood. John 15. What's John 15 about? Abiding where? What's the figure used? The vine, the vine. John 15:8. "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." How about if you don't bear any fruit? Not a disciple. Or you may be one about to bloom, just late bloomer. But we don't know yet. Bears fruit that remains. And finally, Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." A disciple makes disciples. You could also do Matthew 4:19. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Some of you know that one. How does that go? Good. So he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Yeah, but this person isn't a fisher of men. Ah, well then, he must not be following Jesus, because Jesus said, "If you follow me, then I am going to make you a fisher of men." And Jesus wouldn't let us down on his part. So we must not have done the first part. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I want to go now and look at this illustration, this wheel illustration with you. Let's see if I can draw this up here. I hope you can kind of see me over there. A lot of you have already are familiar with this illustration, and I'm not going to take as long as I normally do on it, but someone has, the founder of the Navigators, took these main points that we looked at, that's why it was over on the side, those other words, but tried to summarize in a drawing what are the basics or the marks of a disciple, the basics of the Christian life. And the first point is that Jesus Christ is in the center. That the center of the Christian life isn't George Crowe, Henry Clay, it's not you, it's not tithing, it's not the church, it's not the Bible, it's not prayer, it's not behave yourself, it's not know a lot. The center of the Christian life is Jesus Christ himself. And even though we all kind of know that, somehow that's one of those things that slips away so quickly, so easily, because we sort of go into automatic pilot. They say, go over here. So, you know, you're just not thinking anymore, you know. Haven't you, you know, while you brush your teeth, you're not thinking, let's see, okay, now I'm going on the right bicuspid, you know, and I'm going to go up gently, you know. You're thinking, you're way up, because why? You've learned how to do that without thinking. And we learn the same thing with our faith. We learn to do it without thinking. Same thing can happen in marriage. That you're married to someone and you love them, but it's like you live past them. You look past them. And I'm celebrating my Valentine today, Wendy Clay, and I'm delighted with her. And the importance of continuing to come back in your marriage to be spouse-centered, and in your Christian life to be Christ-centered. To not lose the romance and the focus on Him as a person. Then the rim is us. It's the obedient Christian. If you want to just jot this down on your little drawing there. The obedient Christian. And at the bottom you can put in action. It is a wheel after all. And He saved us for good works, it says in Ephesians 2:10. And our life is ordered around Jesus Christ. And then you have, in a wheel, you have spokes. I'm tripping all over myself here. You have spokes that connect the rim to the hub. The power is all in the hub. It's connected to the motor, you know. Now, some people have said, well, why isn't God in there? Or the Holy Spirit? It says, well, the Bible says no one's seen God at any time. So He's there, you just can't see Him. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. The only one they ever actually saw was Jesus, so we put Him there. Everyone else is there too, you just can't see Him. As far as the spokes, what are the things that connect us to Christ as our source of power? And we've got those four spokes, the Word, the Bible, prayer. Over here, fellowship. And over here, witness. Now, those are all things that we already looked at in our list of verses that Jesus Himself said these are the things that characterize a disciple's life. And there's a lot you could say about each of those. One of the things you can say is that the vertical dimension has to do with our relationship to God, to the Father. The Word is the fundamental spoke of the whole drawing, because everything we know about everything about the Christian life comes from the Scripture. If you took away the Word, everything else on there would disappear. Everything we know about prayer, about Jesus, about fellowship, about witnessing, about obedience, comes from what God has told us in the Scripture. And so that's the foundational spoke. The horizontal spokes have to do with our relationship to people. Fellowship with Christians and the church and Bible study and different things. And witness encompasses more than just talking. It's our words, our actions, our life before an unbelieving world. Now you've got the other little circle on your page there, because the way we have it here is it's all a balanced picture. But let's just say we're going to look at, we have anyone named John here? How about Charles? Don't have Charles. Oh, Charles, you didn't come tonight. Well, let's talk about Charles. Charles has been coming to the church for a while now. And he's not Charles, is he? No, okay. He really has asked Christ to come into his life, and to the degree he knows, he loves the Lord. As far as the Bible, he's got one. His wife gave him one. And he read a little bit, but actually he really hasn't done much with the Bible lately. He can usually find it when he needs to take it to church, but now he doesn't even take it to church because they put the words up on the screen. And as far as prayer, he usually just prays. If pressed, he'll give the blessing before the meal, but he doesn't pray all that much. When he gets in trouble, you know, he'll pray, but he hadn't been in trouble lately, so his prayer is not a real big spoke there. As far as witness, he feels like, well, he witnesses by his life there at work, but he would never bring it up because that might not be appropriate. And so his witness spoke as really little, because the people that notice that he's a very nice guy, they don't realize it's because of Jesus. So Jesus doesn't get any of the credit. And so a witness is real weak there, but he really likes the church. He really likes Wednesday night suppers. He's in a men's group that just meets to talk, you know, and that's really good. Because of a lot of different things, his fellowship spoke as healthy. So his wheel looks something like this. And you can kind of try and reproduce this on your page, too. There you go. So, Charles, there you are. Now, if that's a wheel, what's the problem with that wheel? Would you want that kind of a wheel on your bicycle? What would be the problem of that kind of a wheel on your bicycle? And now, of course, it's spinning around this point here. Be a rough road. If it was really that way, how far would it get? One half of a revolution, right? Boom. You realize there are a lot of people in their Christian life that's kind of how their Christian life goes? I'm going to get going. Vroom. And it doesn't get very far. Another thing that you notice is, if you ever took a mechanical drawing, I'm sure that's tons of you, but anyway, the way you draw the midpoint of any figure is you go halfway between the sides and halfway this way, and you see where the two lines cross, and that's the midpoint of the drawing. What's the midpoint now? What's the center of this wheel? Fellowship. What was supposed to be the center? Jesus Christ. And so sometimes when a person's lopsided in terms of the basics of the Christian life, it affects their balance in their heart. And what would happen if he moved and all of a sudden didn't have any fellowship? What would perhaps happen to his Christian life? He might go into a time of crisis. Why? Because he's trying to get everything out of just fellowship. And in a sense, Jesus Christ has been displaced. Now, again, that's just a teaching technique, you know, but like I said, all the elements that we talked about come straight from the Scripture. And what you are looking to accomplish if you share this with someone is you want them to help them do a little bit of self-diagnosis. In fact, the way I lead into the drawing is I'll ask the person, Charles, how would you, what have you understood so far as of what are the basics of the Christian life? How would you describe the Christian life to somebody? And they'll bring up a lot of these points, and then I'll share the drawing and some verses, and then I'll share the lopsided wheel, and then the last thing I'll ask is, Charles, how about if we draw the wheel for your life, what would it look like right now? Let me ask you right now, if you were to draw the wheel illustration for you with each spoke representing how you feel like you're doing, what would it look like? Do you have a balance in your life, or is there an area that could use a little help? Any questions so far? Yep. Sure. I haven't thought of that one, but that's a pretty good one. Yeah. Who's in the center of your wheel? That's good. I mean, that asks of them a level of honesty that they're maybe not even used to having with themselves. I mean, apart from telling you, a lot of people won't even admit it to themselves. But that, particularly with a younger audience, they don't have as much baggage as the rest of us have. You might fish something good there. And I'm thinking, someone else? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a very good point. Was there another hand or I worked for Georgia Power Company, and when I was in college, and they had, for peak power times in the summer when everyone turned on their air conditioning, they needed more than just their fossil fuel units of their coal turbines. And they had these Pratt and Whitney jet engines that they would normally put on a plane. And they had them bolted to a very large piece of cement so they wouldn't go anywhere. And they would have it aimed at a turbine, which is a set of fans, that so it would turn it very fast and generate electricity. And they would have all of these vibration monitors all over it to see, to make sure it was balanced enough. Because if it got too much out of balance, the whole thing would fly apart, and these things would shoot everywhere like bullets and kill anybody who was nearby. So it was a pretty good motivation to keep it balanced. And if any of you have ever knocked a vane or a blade off of a fan, you've seen how unstable that thing is. It starts to go like this. And an unbalanced life can shake itself apart. So the idea of balance is an important one. Well, what I want us to do now, and I'm going to let you work on it this a little bit. If these are the areas, if this is the dribbling, passing, and shooting, I mean, maybe there's something that we've left out. Can you think of some other area that would be as basic as these areas? I mean, there are tons of things to be covered, you know, but any other things that are would be for all believers and that you would need to cover as a basic or a fundamental? What? Worship. Yep, normally in this you would understand that as the word and prayer centered around Christ. So you might not cover it as a separate topic, but church is usually understood in fellowship. Again, depends on how broadly you define each of these. I guess giving isn't in there. So there may be other things that that'll come up that you'll throw in there. But frankly, most of the time in a lot of churches I've been in, there's not any specific intentional help in these areas. People can be in many churches for 10 years and not really ever have gotten clear on a devotional life. There are a lot of things they don't know about the Bible, don't know how to find out either. Not praying, certainly have never led someone to Christ, don't even know what they'd say if they had a chance. And it's not because they're necessarily insincere. It's that a lot of times the church hasn't been as intentional about these things as we are about a lot of other things that we do a very good job at. I mean, there's some things that we really excel at year after year. It's on the calendar. We've got the money to pay for it. It's very, very organized. It's professional. It's well done. And those are the things we have chosen to succeed in. But these would be things that we should also choose to succeed in. Doesn't mean we throw out anything else. It just means that we make sure that even if as nice as our Nikes are and as cute as we are in our shorts, if we're not teaching people to dribble and pass and shoot, we're probably not doing a very good job yet and need to improve. Now, the next thing I want us to talk about with this is in terms of assessment. Assessment. Because this is where you go from the theoretical, talking with someone in general about the Christian life and the basics of the Christian life, and how do you get from here to actually working with someone on something? And I'm going to choose to call, that's a more current term these days, is assessment. So I'll use that term. But it's basically how do you figure out, along with the other person, something that would be worth working on, that's in line with these basic areas. And I'd like to break you up into some groups and for you to each tackle one particular area. So why don't you go ahead and break up into groups of three or four. I think that's about right. Three or four. Okay, go ahead and do that right now. Quick. Groups of three or four. And I'm going to give you a topic. Okay, we've got one, two. Are y'all a group back there? Where's your third? It's the God and the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. Great. Okay, well, let me tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a topic. I'm going to give you a topic. For example, I want y'all to take the devotional life. And I want you to think in terms of that topic, what questions would you feel free to ask a person that might help you to understand where they are in that area and help them to understand where they are in that area. So you've got the devotional life. Ben and Lindsay, the Word of God back there, prayer. Y'all take the Lordship, Christ the Center. Obedience, walking in the light. Oh, we've got exactly 10 groups. That's great. Fellowship. Witness. And... wait. And I got one topic left. Sorry. Y'all got to combine with some. You'll be backups. Go. Ben and Lindsay are by themselves. You could join them. And y'all take... what'd I say? Salvation, assurance of salvation. Okay? Salvation and assurance of salvation. Okay. You're right. You got it? Okay, go for it. What? Is it still... Really? Oh, I got another battery. Maybe we ought to use it. How about that? Is that better? Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're supposed to write the questions. All right, let's get back together. Mm-hmm. that went well. I'm glad you're having a good time. Back together. Let's start with Tom's group on devotional life. Tom, what did y'all come up with on assessment questions?
Well, it should be very peaceful and tranquil without a lot of distraction. The biblical model is first thing in the morning, if at all possible. And something, whatever material you do, it should inspire you through a combination of prayer and the word, and then also maybe some other kind of material that you can combine those things through prayer. And devote.
Great. Well, you gave us a double for our money. With the assessment, you're only trying to do diagnosis, and sometimes it's better to separate diagnosis from what you would actually do to maybe help or encourage them. You don't want to be too quick on the trigger. You might scare the bird off. You know. And so at this point, asking questions that simply try to see where they are and where they feel like they are, because what you're really hoping to find is there a felt need that they have that then you could say, well, maybe we could get together and talk about that sometime. Because, again, they haven't necessarily asked your question at that point, so giving them an answer at that moment might be better to wait on that. And also, you touched on it, but on that particular area, they may have never even heard of the term. And so you may choose in your assessment question to put the cookies on a lower shelf. And I jotted down a possible one. Have you ever gotten into some kind of daily reading, Bible reading, and prayer? And so you're talking about the same thing, but... Or you could say, have you ever heard the terms like quiet time or daily devotional? The old English one is the morning watch. You know, so what do you think they're talking about when they say that? And they'll say, I don't know. As well, yeah, I used to wonder about that too, you know. Maybe we could talk about that sometime. But again, you're not in a rush. You know, you're trying to follow the lead, discover and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And see if you can be helpful. But very good. So there's a question with the assessment. There's a question that you have in your mind, but then you're going to choose how you're going to bring it up with them. The question I have in my mind in terms of devotional life is, are they happy and successful in meeting with God each day? That's what I want to know. Now, I'm not going to ask it that way, but that's what I'm wanting to know. And if they're happy and successful in meeting with God each day, maybe they can help me. I mean, I'm doing okay, but I mean, they might be onto something even better. So you're always looking to be both a learner and a facilitator, helper, depending on who God's ended up putting you with. And so sometimes you can quickly turn the tables and say, would you get with me sometime and show me what you do? So it's not necessarily that you're completely assuming that how things are going to end up. You're just exploring in this area. But very good, very good. The Word of God, let's see, is that Ben, y'all's group?
Are
Bible study. It's all in the notebook. Right. And again, you, as you do it, you'll learn how to do it in a way that puts, you want them to be as at ease as possible. You don't want in any way, by the way you choose to ask the questions, to make them feel like you're the good cop, bad cop, the light shining right in their face. Do you memorize the Bible? No! I guess I'm going to hell. You know? But you can put them at ease by a little more open-ended question in terms of the Scripture, where you maybe then would guide it to some of those specifics. But again, putting the cookies on the lower shelf at that point, just as an outset question to see to what degree they feel comfortable even talking about it, is how do you feel you're doing with the Bible? Has that been something that's been a big part of your Christian life? And so... without naming too many specifics, because if you get into too many specifics, how are they going to feel? Well, they're either doing all of those and they're going to feel proud, and so we've caused them to stumble, or they're doing badly and they're going to feel condemned, and we cause them to stumble. But in either case, they're not going to be open for our help if we could help them. And so we ease in because we don't want to scare them off, but we do want to get into the subject. And then as they talk to us, and they say, well, I've enjoyed reading, but I sort of feel like there's something more. I says, well, have you ever been in a Bible study? And you just sort of work it along. If they say, oh, I go to BSF, I'm in Bible study, I just love it, but I just wondered how I could take a next step. Have you ever thought about memorizing verses? Well, yeah, but and then you're off. You found a particular area where they're already. See, a lot of times it's just discovering something they're already feeling. They already know. No one ever asked. And that's where, if you're sweet about it, you might be able to interact with them and help them. Back in the back, y'all are. Prayer was yours. Mm-hmm. Ah, very good. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yep. Very good. Now, again... there's some people, you have to watch it, because there's some people that are so sensitive that as soon as you say, okay, well, let's pray, you start and I'll close. You know, so, gosh, I got cornered. So, but often, if you just hear about a person's religious background, if they were from some denominations, then you already know they don't feel comfortable praying out loud in groups unless they have a book to read it out of. And if they're from others... other kind of churches, they may very well be used to praying out loud. So, and particularly if they've been involved in a campus organization in college, stuff like that. And that'll also kind of guide you on how direct you can be with your questions. Very good. What was the next one? Let's see. The Lordship and Christ the Center. Did y'all have that? Oh, up here. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. 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 Ooh. Oh, yeah. Very good. How are you making decisions? I've got one similar to that. How important is it for a Christian to discern God's will for their lives? And if you really are feeling comfy with them, this is maybe a little further than I'd normally go with somebody, but can you give an example of a time when you did something just because you felt God wanted you to, even though you really did not want to do it? See, don't you see that, how that's an assessment question? Trying to see where they are in terms of their understanding that I'm to do His will. Very good. Let's move on. We're running out of time. Obedience and walking in the light. Any thoughts back there? Good. Very good. Anyone you feel like you have that kind of a relationship with that you can be accountable with? Have you ever been in an accountability group? But all kind of things along that lines. Good. I added one. Do you feel anyone has ever really been transparent with you? You know, that turns it around. Because if they've never had anyone be transparent with them, guess what? They've never been transparent with anybody. I mean, you just don't go around doing that, you know. If you're not in a balanced situation, normally someone's not going to do that. Fellowship. Let's see, where are we? Y'all? Oh, how convenient. Yes. What would your group like to share as far as? Excellent. We're not looking for something really, really complicated. And those are the kind of things that you want something that most people would feel comfortable answering. Then, depending on what they say, then you can develop it a little bit more. Very good. Let's see. Witness? Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, that last one might be a little threatening. How often do you put yourself in a situation where you might need to share your faith? And maybe asking them to share their testimony, or if let's just say I'm a non-Christian, how would you lead me to Christ? Or has anyone ever helped you learn how to present your faith? Someone using the Bible. Okay, last group. This is great. Salvation and assurance of salvation. Now, would you ask somebody that you meet at the Wednesday night supper that question? More of shrimp and grits. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Smoking or non-smoking? Sorry. Has the roll gotten around? Anybody not signed the roll? Okay, is it? Did anybody see where the roll is? You're writing on it. Okay. Can you send that around, please? And also, there's the list. We'll get back to y'all. But there's a list of if anyone's going to come on Saturday to the disciple-making workshop and whether you're going to want your own copy of the notebook. Is there anyone else that needs this page for signing up for a Saturday? Okay. Okay. Back to y'all. Salvation, assurance of salvation. Oh, yeah. Right. Very good. What would you think about dying? Now, that's a very good one, and it may be, there are times when it's more, the subjects come up anyway, you know, a funeral, a tragedy, something, and that might be a lead-in with someone. You know, what do you think about dying? And that's kind of comes in a different door, but that's what's nice about having a number of different kind of assessment questions. that you can sort of pick something that you, because you have a sense in a situation, hopefully, of what would be appropriate and what would not be too much for the other person to respond to. Okay. Yep. And another one might be, what would you share with me as the basic message of Christianity? So that's sort of back on the witness one. Let me get Chris to be passing this out. This is a summary of all my assessment questions for all the things we just talked about. I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to give you that tonight. But again, we'll close with this. But I better close with my closing instead of that. But on the assessment question, what I'm passing out, under each topic, I've got the question that you have in your head, and that's what's in italics, for example, on salvation. Are you sure they've been born again, and do they have assurance of their salvation? That's your question in your mind, but that's not necessarily the question you're going to ask them. You're going to think, what would be the best kind of a way to ask that they would feel comfortable answering? So as we talk about the fundamentals, this is in conclusion, as we talk about the dribbling, passing, and shooting of the Christian life, the word, prayer, fellowship, witnessing, Jesus Christ in the center, and obedience to Him. Remember, it's not about guilt because it's not about works. The Christian life is about joy, and it's about delight, and it's about life. Psalm 40 says, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. And if we're not moving a person toward life and toward joy, we took a wrong turn somewhere. Don't ever think that you're going to help a person by not helping them in any of the basics because you don't want them to become legalistic. You can become even legalistic about grace. But Jesus had said, these are the meat and vegetables of the Christian life. This is dribbling, passing, and shooting. And if you don't advance here, you're not going to win any games. And you're not going to be happy. Because I made you to do this. And this is the paths I've made you to run in and delight in and to connect with God and with people through. And what a joy that we can continue to grow the rest of our life in these things, but also be helpful to others around us that need help just as we need help. I mean, how do people figure these things out if no one will even bring up the subject and offer to show them at least what they've learned so far on the subject? Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for these 6 weeks we've had together, for our upcoming workshop that we'll be having. And I'm just thanking you for the many, many lives that will be touched through people in this class that you've spoken to. I pray for anyone here who has a lopsided wheel, and I suppose we all do to some degree and at different times, but help us to be humble and growing and learning to keep coming back to Jesus and to learn from you, to become more like you. And make us contagious, Lord, with this life. And even as we stumble along, Lord, we can be helpful and kind and communicative to others about the things that we've found so far that have helped us. And it might help them too. Thank you, Lord. Fill us with vision. Fill us with hope. Fill us with life. Make us contagious. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you.